Let it be. Let it be. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Let it be. Now, what is it that we are letting be? What is it that we are letting happen in our life? What is it that we are bringing forth in our world? What is it? Well, did you ever have an awareness of a person who is a prodigy? Someone who's skilled or very blessed in certain ways. I've known a number of them. And one of them was Johnny Fleischner. He lived up the street from us. And he was just brilliant in mathematics, brilliant in physics, brilliant in anything, anything with figures in it. And one of his most brilliant aspects was the use of the slide rule. And he was a prodigy. He truly was. He, at home, would play the violin, and he, with his family, would do all sorts of things. But his father was a genius, and his mother probably was a genius, too. But his father was a genius, and so Johnny was never recognized as being a genius. He's never recognized as being a prodigy. It's just natural that everyone should know mathematics and everyone should know these wonderful things of physics. And the father just expected that, but the father didn't push Johnny in that field. Because if he had pushed Johnny in that field, two things might have happened, one or two. He might have either become very great as a prodigy, or he might have run away from it because he didn't want to be pushed. He wanted to be himself. Now, we watched a movie last night, an Italian movie called 1900, and it was about a baby who was born on a ship, and the mother didn't want to take the baby along, and so she left the baby in a crib there in the middle of the banquet hall, in the middle of the dance hall, and the ship had emptied. And so the crew came aboard, and there was aboard, and they were working there, and somebody found the baby. And so they took care of the baby because it had to be fed, because the ship was in port and there was nothing going on. So this person realized, it's a baby, it needs to be fed. So he fed it and fed it and fed it until it made quite a mess. And then he realized it had to be emptied while it was fed. And the show was quite charming. And the little baby cried and was happy and was a pleasant boy who grew up very healthy. And but what he grew up with, he grew up with a prodigy. He grew up with an ability to take the piano and produce from the piano beautiful music, most beautiful music. His finger skill was exquisite. Now, the man who sort of took over for him was a very sincere man, uneducated, unsophisticated in every single way, but love he had lots of. And he loved the boy. And when he taught the boy to read, he didn't teach the boy to read, the boy taught himself, but when he had the boy read to him and do things to him, he made it sound so much fun, so joyful. He just was always full of laughter. Well, the boy grew up, and the boy, at the age of 8, feeling no inhibitions whatsoever, walked into the main ballroom as people were there, and began to play the piano. Now, he had had no training in the piano. He'd probably seen a piano, but he had no idea what it was, or he didn't know that he had a prodigy quality in the piano. But he played, and he played exquisitely. He played music that had never been heard before because it was coming directly out of his heart. And he did this, and because he was so exquisite, and because he had such good manners, and because he was an honorable and honest young man, as he grew up there, he stayed on the ship all the days of his life, virtually, in fact. And he never left it. But all the time, the dance audiences and so forth appreciated his ability to play the piano. And his name spread wide and far. But nobody promoted him. And at one time, they wanted to have a contest between he and another great jazz pianist. And so the other great jazz pianist who knew he was good and who was so uppity nose and thinking that he's so good. He played beautifully. And this young man, who was in his 30s, he wanted to play the same thing, but he didn't let himself do it because he didn't want to show up the other man. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to be a competition for the other man because the other man was very good. Mm-hmm. And the boy recognized that he was very good. The man recognized he was very good. And so the fellow who he was in competition with had his nose so high in the air and so disrespectful of any other talent that the young man gave him something to be disrespectful. He played just an ordinary piece, just an ordinary piece of music which had no pizzazz to it. And the man who he was in competition thought, oh, yeah, this smells, this is terrible. And so he played again in his superiority complex way, in his superior way, and was excellent, was truly excellent. And so the young man says, okay, if you won't let it go, then I'll play. And so he did the same thing the man did. The man had a cigarette he had on the piano, and the cigarette did not drop an ash because the piano was vibrating so harmoniously. And so he put the cigarette on the piano, but he didn't light it. And then he played the pieces that he played. Oh, and he played good. And he was sweating up a storm. He was really letting it all out. And the audience, instead of applauding him at the end of this remarkable piece of musicality, they stood awed, just awed. And so then the boy, the man, took the cigarette and put it against two of the strings of the piano, which were so hot because he had played so vibrantly that they lit the cigarette. And then he took the cigarette to the man and he said, I don't smoke. This is for you. And the man didn't take it, so he put it in the man's mouth. And then he said virtually nothing. He just went his way. But the thing is, when we are capable, when we are a prodigy, when we are a genius, we do not do things in competition. We do things in joy. When I'm writing my books, I'm not thinking who's going to read my book. I'm not thinking who's going to be blessed by the book. I'm not thinking where I'm going to publish it, how I'm going to do this or that. I just write. I do not think what my next chapter is going to be, because each chapter is a growth upon the previous chapter, where it just grows and grows, where the concept grows, the techniques grow, and the ability to use it grows. And it's a wonderful thing. And as I do that, I feel very rewarded. When I'm done writing my book or the work that I'm working on, it could take me a couple hours, it could take me a week or so, and I virtually never stop. And I just, every single moment, get going on it and get going on it. And out it comes. And I am happy with it. Now, does it have to be printed? Does it have to be published? Does it have to be brought out? No. I've already received all the reward that I could from my work. A prodigy, and we are all prodigies, we receive reward from our work by doing it. We receive reward from all of the things that we're working on because we have done them, we have revealed them. And we are totally happy with anyone taking our work and printing it and putting their name on it if they want. I had one man who took my Art and Science of Wholeness, and he's one of my students. He finished the course and he loved it so much, he took the whole book and put his name on it and published it. And I said, John, his name is John Lawrence. I said, John, that's a wonderful thing there. You've chosen a good book. And but people will recognize who had it copyright first. And I did. And so, therefore, your copyright would be invalid. And so you might consider that. And so shortly thereafter, he died. Now, you see, when you go around copying other people, when you go around taking the genius of other people or taking the gift, the paintings, this is a skill of other people copying them, you have no reward. Death is the only reward for you because it gets you out of here and gets you away from this negative attitude you have about yourself. But when you can live, living your philosophy, living what you believe, living what you dream, then you are a living prodigy. You are a living let it be. You are a living being that is expressing in every area of your life who and what you are. People say, Herb, doesn't it bother you that somebody takes your phrase? No, I think it's wonderful. If they quote me, that's nice. And if they don't quote me, then they've made it theirs. Can you keep saying, Shakespeare, to be or not to be, Shakespeare, to be or not to be, Shakespeare, to be or not to be? I mean, it's a good phrase, to be or not to be, and all that it means. And everyone knows that it's Shakespeare. And when you try to claim it for your own, people say, oh, you take it from a good source. You take it from a good source. And just think of the 2,000 years, one of the most copied books in the world is the Bible. And hundreds of thousands of ministers throughout the world have taken that Bible and each said it meant this, something quite different. But basically, they were sound. Basically, they kept the Bible saying what the Bible said. It's only when they would dwell on the negativity of the Bible or some of the Old Testament things that they got in trouble. But the Bible was good, and I'm sure that whoever, and that's each one of us, is the creator of the Bible, would say to anyone who copied us, go for it, use it, take it, you know, to be or not to be. Let go and let God. Listen within. All of the things that the master teacher taught us, those are the things that are the great and beautiful things for us to listen to. They are our reality. Let it be. Just let it be. And don't try to understand why people are the way they are. You just be who and what you are. The beautiful, dynamic, fantastic, glorious, outstanding person that you are. And you have no one to make excuses to. You have no one to say, I wish I could do it better. Because we have time to do it right the first time. And we have time to do it over if we don't. So let's do it right the first time and appreciate who we are. Let's like ourselves and let it be and be delighted. And as we look at everybody else, see in them who we are. Because whether we like it or not, we see in others who we are. And if there's anything in another that you don't like, that's you. If there's any hateful thing in another person you don't like, that's you. If there's any good thing in another person that you like, that's you. So begin to look at all the world and see it as your creation, magnificent in every way, a prodigy expressing itself beautifully. We have on YouTube so many expressions of little children listening to their mommy play the piano and they play the piano. Little children dancing. They dance the most intricate dances and so beautiful. And little children doing these gymnastics so wonderfully. And an 86-year-old lady doing gymnastics so beautifully. You know? Why not? Science is telling us we live as long as we want. And people want to get off because they're getting tired of living, because they haven't realized that within them is that golden opportunity to be the wonderful being that they are right now. And rather than look at it, be it. Rather than wish for it, be it. Rather than see it in other people, see it in yourself and enjoy it. Because you are that divinity right now, and you are that magic right now, and oh, that's all that matters. Let it be. Let it be. You're the prodigy. And you're good and very good in every area of your life. Doesn't matter what you've ever done before. It only matters what you're doing this minute. Do you like yourself? Do you find yourself a wonderful person to be with? Do you find everybody in your world wonderful to be with? Then you got it made. So join me in this wonderful awareness today and be all that you are right now. Not by anyone else's schedule or gauge, but just by the fact of who you are. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.